Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. You know, I wanted to share, there was a scripture this morning that I just wanted to share with you. It's not part of the message, but it's found in Luke 21, 25, 26, 27. And it said, we'll even go into 28, I think. Verse 28. But it says here, and there will be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear, from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift your heads, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. You know, that's exactly what's going on in the earth. You know, as we draw nearer and nearer to that day as we go forward, I see more and more of these prophecies in the Word coming to pass, you know, where people's hearts are failing them. You see people out there that are just so scared and so fearful because they don't know what to expect, and they should be fearful. The world, you know, we can't tell the world, oh, you just have faith, because they don't have faith. They don't have ability to have faith. We have to understand that the world will not have faith. But, you know, we have a God that we serve that we can have faith in and that we can be sure of His way. Amen. But we have to understand that there are things are going to happen and it's going to grow worse and worse. There'll be things in the earth. You know, I even used to be a person who just automatically debunked things like global warming and things like that. And I'll tell you, I don't do that so much anymore. Now, I'm not saying that it's all caused by the way that they say it is, or that it's going to continue the way they say it's going to go. But I'm not saying that it doesn't exist either. And one of the reasons is I look at the things that are happening on the earth. There's lots of things that are happening. There's earthquakes. I mean, there was just another earthquake in Los Angeles, another, you know, that rocked Los Angeles. Was it Los Angeles, I think? Yeah. And so, you know, we see that these things are happening. There's more and more things happen. Weather patterns are changing. Hasn't this year been crazy weather patterns, you know? And we know pandemics and stuff like this. But this stuff does not move us. Amen? The Bible says that when these things begin to happen, look up and lift your heads, because your redemption draws near. Amen. That means that the one, our Savior, He's always there for us. We have something to look forward to, and so we need to continue doing it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, that's free, no charge. That's just a little snippet of what's happening. But it's been reported to us. Glory to God. So we just move on with life and continue on as we were. Glory to God. Today's message is called, Where is God? ? I always say question mark. I throw that in there because I want you to know that it is a question. Amen. That, you know, in this message, the idea is, it was based in, you know, as I was seeking the Lord for this message in particular, I said, Lord, what do you want to say to your people? And I often say that when I don't know specifically what He wants to minister. And so I go to Him, Lord, what do you want to say to your people? And I started hearing the voices of people saying, Where is God? Where is God? Where is God? You know, where is, in all this trouble, where is God? And I thought God loved me. I thought God was for me. You know, all these things. Where is God? And I heard this. I heard this over and over in my spirit. And I knew that this was the direction that the Lord would have me to go. And so I got the first statement. Or the first question there, and then all of a sudden the Lord started blossoming the rest of the message out of it. So I just believe that you're going to believe with me. We'll get through this. We'll get to the other side. We got something, got some things here that God wants us to know and God wants us to see. And you know, I've been doing this more and more, but I've been encouraging our people to listen to both messages. If you can listen to Corey's message the night before, you know, I know that it's not always easy to listen to a message online or to go back and listen to it, but I encourage you strongly to do so, because God is saying things in both of these churches that are important to both of us. And you may say, well, why don't you just preach them both here? Well, it's not my job to make sure that everybody hears. It's my job to say what I'm supposed to say when I'm supposed to say it, and it's your job to go find it. Amen. It's your job to seek it out and to listen to it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know what that was, but somebody's playing piano. Yeah, amen. We don't even have a piano, do we? Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. But it's not my job to, it's my job to give the message, but it's not my job to seek people out and make sure that they're listening to it. You know, in fact, somebody even was asking me about tithes and offerings, you know, in this time. And it was a church member that was asking me what is going to happen with that, you know, and will people still give and all that stuff. And I know that the Lord had directed me specifically not to spend a lot of time on it. But I'm sharing this with you for the understanding that I said, and it was revelation, I said to this person at the time, I said, what I've realized is that it's not my job to make people do what the Word says to do. It's my job to report, and it's your job to decide, amen? It's your job to decide whether or not you want to do it. And so when we teach the Word, we preach the Word, we do that to help people, but whether or not people receive it is completely up to them. And I see people all the time that they walk into problems. I mean, as a pastor, I see it often where people walk into problems, and the reason is because they didn't heed the Word of God. They didn't listen to the Word that was being preached. That Word was being preached to help them, and they chose not to listen to it, or they chose not to go back and get it, or they chose not to do it. And because of those things, that the trial has come on their life, and I can't stop it. Praise the Lord. I can't stop it, and neither can you a lot of times unless you fix what is wrong. And so we want to be people that just are hungry after God, not just because we want to be saved from the trial, but we need to have a relationship and love God. We need to desire Him, amen? You know, it started dawning on me in recent times, and we've gotten real clear this week, that one of the biggest problems with the church is that the church just does not desire God. You know, a lot of times that the church, people in the church, they desire manifestations for the purpose of entertainment. They like to see people running around, or they like to see people drunk in the spirit. They like to see things, and it's entertainment to them. They like to see the minister doing goofy things because it's entertainment. But that's not the reason why those things happen. God is not an entertainer. He is not in this to entertain you. Church is not so you to get. Church is not like the movie theater. It is not like you know, the show that you go see, the musical or anything like that. I'm not saying any of that stuff is bad. Praise the Lord, but I'm just saying that that's not what church is. But so often, and especially in this country, people have started looking at church like, I don't know why I'm on all this, but they've looked, they started looking at church like it's an optional thing, like it's entertainment, like it's disposable. Like you've heard it yourselves, our dear, sweet, precious governor, praise the Lord for him, has decided that churches are not essential businesses. And as I see this problem going on further and further, one of the things that I can tell you is church is not a business, and it is essential. Praise the Lord. It is not a matter of being an essential business. It is a matter of being an essential lifestyle. Amen. And so we're seeing that. But we're the church. We're holding strong. And one of the things that I know is because so many people have chosen to neglect church and just not make it a priority in their life, God has given them a little bit of time to learn how to desire come to church. Amen. Praise the Lord. And either they'll learn to desire or they'll be shaken loose and they will fall away and be lost. But none of this was my message, glory to God, but we're going to ask, where is God today? Amen. And so we're going to start in Deuteronomy 31:6. Go back to the Old Testament. Amen. Deuteronomy 31:6. Some people think that the Old Testament doesn't apply. I'm sure glad that it still does. Amen. God's got blessing for us, and a lot of the blessing is spelled out for us in the Old Testament. So we're thankful to be able to go back and get it. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy 31:6, it says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." I love these scripture. It means so much to me. Of course, I quote it in some form or another all the time. We're going to see it again later on in a different scripture. But, you know, we have to understand that the most important thing for us to do is to be strong and of good courage, following the Lord, trusting Him. You know, the biggest problem with Christians is when they get into trials, when they get into tribulation, when they get into things that seem adverse, is that they get to this place of not trusting Him. When you start getting into that realm of when you start going down that, now listen, there's always going to be a degree of pain that you're going to feel when something is adverse. There's always going to be a degree of things that are uncomfortable when things are adverse. Amen. So I'm not saying that if you're feeling that you're failing, not by any means. But we have to understand that we have to put those feelings in check. And we're going to see that here today. But we got to put those things in check. We got to put the devil in his place. We have to know that God is good no matter what. That he has never left us nor forsaken us. He will not leave us. He is the one who goes with us. Amen. And we have to understand that first and foremost. In fact, these are the first things. This is one of the first scriptures that we should go to when trial comes upon our life. When tribulation comes upon our life. When adverse circumstances come upon our life. We need to turn to Deuteronomy 31:6, and we need to remember what the Lord said, that he is the one who goes with us. Amen. Hallelujah. He is the one that goes with you. That's a big statement. It seems just kind of a little statement there, but it's a big statement that the creator of all of everything, glory to God, the creator of heaven, the creator of the earth, the creator of life as we know it, he goes with us. Amen. That when you go, he's with you. Amen. So whatever you do, he's with you. Now, of course, this is talking about people who are in his plan, that are going with his plan. One of the sad things I've had to learn as a pastor is not everybody will go with his plan, and that people will go with God's plan at different intervals. There'll be some people that will go fully into God's plan, and they will see the fullness of it. We have some people in our church that are very much that they're striving after the full plan of God, amen? But then we have some people in our church that are at the other end of that, that aren't going with his plan, that are resisting his plan. And I've seen this too, and and unfortunately, these people are not going to see what God has for them. Now, you can say that you can know this, that at any given time in any service that you sit in, that there are people around you, some will do right and some will do wrong. There's some that will go all the way. There's some that will go some way. There's some that will go part way and they will only go part way throughout. But then there's the others that just get hungry. Now, you look at those who seem to be stirred up the most, those who seem to be on fire and after it the most, and those are probably the ones that are going after the plan 100%. And so if you want what they're going to get, praise the Lord, then you're going to have to do what they do. Hallelujah. But the first thing that we have to know, the most basic principle of all of our faith, is to trust God. We have to trust God. And so when things look adverse, we have to still trust God. When things don't look good, we have to still trust God. What does it mean to trust God? I know it looks bad, but God is still good. God is still for me. He has not left me nor forsaken me. You know, it's not just something that he said that he will never leave you, but he also said that he won't forsake you. You know, forsake you, this is the same, similar idea as what we say when we don't forsake the assembling of the brethren together. It's to leave helpless or to leave utterly abandoned, to forget about. You know, not only is God not leaving us, but he's not forgetting about us. That he remembers us in our trial. He remembers us. He remembers our flesh. He remembers that our flesh is only flesh and that we're dealing with these things. You know, the Bible says that we have a high priest who knows how to identify with us. A high priest who knows the trials that we go through. That's part of the reason Jesus was here, is so he could experience those things and to have compassion and to bring that compassion on us. Amen. God wants to know us. He wants to know who we are, how we are. He wants to know what we're dealing with. These things matter to him. When you have a moment in your life when you're sad, it matters to God. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be full of joy. But you have to understand, there's another side to that. Though God wants you to be happy, though he wants you to be full of joy, the other side to this is you have to trust him in order to get to that place. And if you're not happy, if you're not full of joy, it means you haven't learned to fully trust God yet. And so that's what you need to do. Now, how do we do that? Well, we do that by jumping in. The more you jump in the water, the more you get wet. Amen. If you go out there and dip your toe into Chautauqua Lake, your big toe is all that's going to get wet. But if you go out and you jump right in, if you cannonball into the middle of the lake, your whole body and everything with you will get wet. Amen. And so that's the same thing with God. If we just dip our toe in, well, then we'll get a little bit. We'll get a little bit of moisture. Amen. But if we jump fully in, we get it all. And that's what God wants for us. And that's what you need. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Psalm 37:3 is a favorite scripture of mine. Glory to God. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Of course, we hear this scripture often, and we hear it often because it is a favorite scripture of mine. It is a go-to scripture, is what I call a life verse. It's one that I've highlighted and go back to and remember in times of trial. I have to go back to this. Trust in the Lord. When things don't look right, you trust in the Lord. But there is another part to this scripture, and it says, and do good. If you fully trust in God, you will also do good. Amen? You won't stop at just trusting him. It will mean that you will be inspired to go forward and do what he has called you to do. Amen? The Bible says to dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. This also is a profound statement. When it says to dwell in the land, it doesn't just mean live. I mean, you were just living anyways. You wouldn't need that instruction if that's what you were doing. Amen? But no, it means to dwell in the land as one who trusts in the Lord. Dwell in the land as one who trusts in the Lord and does good. Dwell in the land the way God has told you to dwell in the land. Amen? I live good. How do we say that? How do I know I live good? For the first thing is I say that I live good. I declare that I live good. Because those things which you believe are those things which you declare. So whatever you're declaring, whatever's coming out of your mouth is what you believe. Amen? And so we declare, we live good, we live blessed, we live as children of God, we live full of the Spirit, all of these things. Amen? How do you get full of the Spirit? You know, we talk about that all the time. The first step is declaring it. I live full of God's Spirit. I speak to these things. You know, we were recently talking to some friends, and they were talking about watching TV, and they got onto TV, and they were got a commercial that came up in the show that they were watching, and the commercial was bad. It was a real bad commercial. It was depicting things that are evil. And I love what these people shared with us was their response to. They had a response to the commercial. Do you notice if you look in the Word, the Bible tells us that Jesus responded to things. Amen. And because God knows that there's a principle in that. So how did they respond? They said, that is not of God. That's what they said. They spoke it out loud. That is not of God. They're in their home, just the two of them. That is not of God. Amen. They recognized that that wasn't of God. What were they doing? They were recognizing, they were saying it because they're not allowing anything to get into their spirit and have it be acceptable. One of the ways that the devil makes things acceptable with especially believers is he shows it to them over and over and over and over. If you haven't noticed, has anyone watched the news in recent times? If you haven't noticed, what are the things that they're doing? They're promoting the same things over and over and over. You go to this news station and that news station, and they're saying this about the pandemic, and they're saying this about what the president's not doing, and they're saying this and that and this and this. And then we see Christians believing it all. We see Christians sucking it up like a sponge. And why do they do it? Because they keep going back to it and going back to it and going back. You notice that the Bible is called the good news, the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us that we are to focus on good news, not bad news. So why are we all, why as Christians, why are we tuning into the tube all the time or online or getting in and reading all this junk that they're speaking about everything else? People complaining about the president. I'll tell you right now, there is never a scripture ever that tells you to complain about the dignitaries. In fact, it tells you just the opposite, that you're in sin if you do. That what you do is you pray for them if you don't agree with them. You don't complain about them, Christians saying stupid things about things that are going. It gets me fired up a little bit because that's exactly what happens. Listen, I don't agree with our governor almost at all, but I don't sit there bashing him all the time. And you say, well, you're bashing him. I'm not bashing him now because I'm not even telling you what I want to say. Amen. I'm holding back a lot. I pray for him, though. I pray that he has direction, that he makes the right choices, because he certainly hasn't made a lot of the right choices. Well, you say, well, I don't know. Well, I'll tell you, one of the biggest ones that he hasn't done is that he has no problem ripping a baby from a mother's womb and killing it on a table. He has no problem passing laws and being a pioneer on the laws for that. You think that's right? Well, if you're a Christian, you should be ashamed of yourself if you think that kind of stuff is right. Because the Bible tells you that, and if you're a Christian that thinks that kind of stuff is right, it's because you're a Christian who hasn't spent any time in the Word. That stuff isn't right. It's wrong. It's evil. And we need to call evil, evil. Now, that doesn't mean that you got to go down to Albany and start protesting. It doesn't mean that you got to start a Facebook group against the governor or anything like that. That's not what we're called to do. We are not called to be the world. And that's, you know, the social media. Social media is good for a lot of things. It's good for entertainment. But it is not good to get your news from. It is not good to get your ideas from it. And I say these things, and these I believe these things are coming from the Spirit. I say these things because it is so important. There are so many people who are being led and guided. Do you know that there was people that go to our church? Praise the Lord. When those people were attacking our church for doing right, there was people from our church that commented on those things. Maybe didn't even know it. Yeah, why? Because they have no idea what they're doing. They're just getting in there like the rest of the sheep and doing what everybody else is doing. Folks, we got to be I woke up nice today. I'm just telling you the truth. But there's some things we got to get right. We got to be right about stuff. We got to stop people that are complaining about everything. We are not complainers. We are not. Listen, what I'm doing is I'm preaching the truth to try to help people. I am not complaining about it. But we have to be people that are stop complaining about everything. Because the first thing that we show when we start complaining is that we don't trust God. Because we feel, actually, if you go to Galatians 5 and you study Galatians 5 out, well, let's just go over there real quick. Praise the Lord. Galatians 5. Hallelujah. And I know I brought this up in one of the churches, I think, in the last few weeks. Praise God. Hallelujah. We'll get there. Galatians used to be in my Bible. Yep, it's before Ephesians. There we go. Galatians 5. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, where it says idolatry, in verse 20, it says, these are the works of the flesh. Verse 19 says that. And then verse 20, it says, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. You know, these are literally mean anger provoked by what is perceived as unfair treatment. That's all complaining is. You feel that something is not right against you or not fair against you. Why do I have this? Why did this happen to me? That's complaining. It's not fair against you. It's anger. And people get angry about it and they get stirred about it. This thing, the Bible says that these kinds of people that practice these things won't inherit the kingdom of God. I'm just telling you the truth, amen? And so we have to understand that our job is not to look around and complain. Now listen, I am a person who is given, naturally speaking, to complain. Complaining. I want my flesh wants to complain. But we have to reel that in. We have to dial that back. We have to get control of that. We have to crucify the flesh, praise the Lord, and get that under control. We have no right. If Jesus died for us and gave us everything, we have no right to complain about anything. But see, the problem is the reason Christians complain is because they don't really believe that they've been given everything. They don't really believe they've been set free. They don't really believe that they're not in bondage anymore because they feel that they are. See, you are only in bondage to what you allow yourself to be bondage to. And you do that by your voice. You do that by what you give a voice. Do you realize that when you complain about things, what you do, glory to God, this is free, no charge. This is not the message. This is not what you came for, but this is what you're getting. Amen. But when you complain, what you are doing is you are exalting that thing which has come against you. That's what you're doing. It is the same. It is the opposite equivalent of praise toward God. Because what praise towards God is saying what God has done. It's praising God for what he's done or what he's going to do or what he's been doing. Amen? That's what praise is. And so the very opposite of that is complaining about what you don't have, complaining about what you don't get, coming against how unfair things are. You know how unfair things are? They're really unfair. There's nothing in this life that says that things are going to be fair. Praise the Lord. But you want an equalizer, then you need to get on God's side. Because he's the only way that you're going to get out of it. We don't all start from the same place because God doesn't plop people down and say, I'm going to make this one poor and I'm going to make this one rich. God doesn't do it like that. Amen? That's not how the blessing of the Lord works. God puts us, we have to understand that there are natural principles at play on this earth all the time. And we are somewhat bound to those natural principles. Now, the Word of God gives us hope that we can overcome those natural principles. But we don't pick. God doesn't sit there and pick. Okay, you know, I always think about this. Now, God does release the spirit of the human into a child. And so we know that every child that is born has a spirit that God has given to that child. But God has not caused every baby to be born. Praise the Lord. I heard silence in here, but I hear it out there. I hear it in the internet and all that stuff. Praise the Lord. God does not cause every baby is not specifically a gift of God. Oh, ouch. What? Can he even say these things as a pastor? Man, we're going to throw rocks. We're going to listen to what I'm saying. When two people are doing exactly what God has told them not to do. Two people are out there fornicating, and they're living in sin, and they conceive a baby. Did God okay that? Did God say, oh, well, this time I'll overlook it because I just want another baby? Boom, there you go. No, that's not the way that it works. God has put the power of making babies into the flesh of humans. And so God has no intervention in that. Now, just naturally speaking. When a baby's born, everybody likes to say, baby's born, it's a miracle. It is not a miracle. It's a natural process that happens every single day. Now, it's amazing. Now, listen, the whole creation, it is a miracle that it's even here and how it works. But it's not a miracle when we look at it, at things that happen every day. And actually, that lessens in our minds, in our ideas, our understanding. When we say things like that, when we claim that babies are miracles, what we're doing is we're saying, we're lowering what a miracle standard is so that we can't recognize a miracle when it happens. You know, this is how you start going down that road. And I know maybe some of the things I'm saying are really rubbing your cat, petting your cat backwards. But this is the truth of it. It doesn't matter. You need to know the truth. We have to get things right. We have to think of things right. We have to understand the process of how God works. Now, I am not saying that it is not a blessing to have a baby. Of course not. That is not what I'm saying at all. But what I'm saying is that there are natural processes. It's just like people that say, God has called someone so-and-so home, or it was their time to go. Listen, if somebody does something, if somebody goes out and gets drunk and drives a car and crashes a car and dies, that was not God's plan. God did not say, you go do what I said is sin, and then now I'm going to take your life through that process. That's not how it works. But that person can step out from under the covering of God and do that. Now, sometimes there are innocent people that die, not as a result of something that God has done, but because someone else has been drunk driving, or somebody else shot a gun, or somebody else. We have a friend, actually, whose mother was shot one day at a beach. And it was just a stray bullet. It was an accident. It was a freak of nature, so to speak. Insurance would call it an act of God, but it certainly was an act of God. God didn't look down and say, well, I'm going to cause that lady to be shot. That was just a natural process. Those are tribulations. See, we have to understand the way things work. If we don't understand the way things work, we're going to be deceived and we're going to be deluded. And then we're not going to look at God right. So we're not going to do the things right to be able to be in his blessing. God wants us to, he desires us to be in his blessing, but we have to stop looking at things wrong. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so we understand that there are things that are going to happen on the earth. That doesn't mean God is not here. It does not mean that God has stopped working. We are going to see, actually, in some of the biggest times in Scripture where the worst things were happening, God was in the midst of it, and we read these stories, and we see them, and we talk about them. We tell them in Sunday schools, but for some reason, we don't believe them when it comes to our life. Praise the Lord. Was God in saving Noah in the flood? Absolutely. God was actually in the flood. Amen? Yeah, if you want to look at it that way, he was in the flood. That was judgment on the earth. Judgment can still happen on the earth. I'm not saying that it can't. In judgment, God sent the flood to destroy the earth. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. But he also spared Noah. Now, that was a horrible time for humanity. Listen, if you think that it wouldn't be stressful to know that you and the eight that are with you are the only ones that are going to survive this pandemic, what if all of a sudden an angel of the Lord stood before you and said, you know what? You and your family are the only ones that are going to survive this pandemic. And God is going to use you to repopulate the earth. I mean, you think you'd be happy about that? You think you'd be happy about that, watching people just, no, it necessarily wouldn't make you happy, amen? But God was still in it. God is still in it, amen? And so we see that different times in Scripture that God is in things. Now, I know that kind of probably confuses some people in the sense of, you always talk about God is good and God isn't killing people. Yes, God isn't actively out there killing people, but we have to keep these things in check. We have to understand how it works. But God is a perfect judge. He does judge the earth at times. There are times where he judges people and he allows judgment to come upon them because of that. But God is not actively destroying the lives of people. When a baby dies, God didn't take that baby. He didn't cause that baby to die. Amen. That's what I'm saying. We're talking about on a normal basis. So there's a normal basis. There's judgment. There's two different things here. Amen? Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. We'll go to verse 1. Now remember, it said the Bible, we read in Psalm 37 there, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. That is what we're going to feed on. We are not going to be moved by things that happen. We're not going to feed on the things that we thought that we had. See, really in this country, and I don't mind being spoiled. I'm just going to tell you the truth. But really in this country, we are spoiled people. Very spoiled. I don't mind being spoiled. I don't mind being able to go to a restaurant any day that I want to go to it. I don't mind being able to travel as far as I want to go without hindrance. I don't mind that. I don't mind that we get to drive across the country if you want to. But you know, there is a thing that we kind of lose in all that, in our American freedoms, and that's the idea that not everybody has those same kind of freedoms, and that that those types of things are something that we need to be thankful for and not take for granted. You know, it was not more than 6 months ago, I actually drove across the United States. And when we drove across the United States, you know, you go from one state to the next and you wouldn't even think, you wouldn't think anything of it. But, you know, it's interesting now, if you drive into another state now, there's signs up that say, if you're from out of state, stay home. If you're from out of state, quarantine for 14 days. And, you know, when you see enough of these signs, it's a little bit creepy. Because you start looking at it and you say, well, wait a minute. I thought we were free. You know, the Constitution gives us the ability, the right to be able to freely move about wherever we want in this country and not be questioned. But we see that in the time of a pandemic, because of the fear of people, the fear of man, that's exactly what's happening. They had governors of states saying, we are shutting it down. If no one from New York State, remember Rhode Island was pulling over New York State residents because they had a plate on their car if they came into their state. It's highly illegal. That's completely against our Constitution and our rights. But see, we've taken those things for granted. We just did them for so long that when things are reeled back a little bit, we start freaking out. We start feeling like it's the end of the world. But listen, it's not the end of the world. We need to understand that it's okay to be woken up times. Amen? Sometimes that we need to be awakened to the things that are going on and the things that are really happening. We need to be awakened to the fact that we are blessed. And why do I bring these things up? Because, you know, before you thought you weren't blessed, but you still had the right to go wherever you want to go. Now the right's not there, and you're looking, wait a minute, I wish I had that back. So what people were saying, you know, 6 months ago, how people were saying they weren't blessed, today they are. You know, it's like the people are saying, there had been people that were complaining 6 months ago because their job wasn't paying enough. And now, today, that same job doesn't even exist. Maybe that job got shut down. Some people maybe had a business. They were complaining, well, it's not doing well enough. And now they can't even exist. And maybe we'll never open again. You know, this stuff is happening all over our country. We have grown fat, praise the Lord. I like being fat. We've grown fat from how we've been blessed in this country. But we need to make sure, we need to keep that in check. We need to understand that there are things that God has provided for us. There are blessings that we can't just take for granted. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. 2 Peter 3:1. Praise the Lord. We're going to read through verse 9. Glory to God. Beloved, I now write to you this, the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. He's reminding us of things, remember? That this is a good thing for us to do, to be reminded of the truth. We have to be reminded of the truth. It is really good that you remind yourself of the truth. Amen. If you have a heart that will not be deceived, you know, you have a heart that will not be deceived. You'll hear something like me say something that you shouldn't be complaining against the president and not get offended about it. But look at what I'm actually saying. Instead of being offended, that's a heart that wants to know the truth. But a heart that wants to know the truth is, so, well, bless God, I'm a Republican, or bless God, I'm a Democrat, so this is what I'm going to believe. Because I'm going to tell you what. You are not going to find somebody that's going to stand in one of those offices that's going to do completely right by you. You're not going to find one. In fact, I'll say this, and I said this last night, and I'm going to share this with you today, just kind of food for thought or just kind of interesting. If you look at all the argument on what to do with this pandemic, in the country right now, it seems to be very divided along party lines. that one party says we need to do one thing and one party says we need to do another thing. That is your first clue as an intelligent person who is able to rationalize and think for themselves. That is your first clue that there's something more to this than what's being shown. That's your first clue that something more to this is going on. That you can't just trust the Republicans. You can't just trust the Democrats. We are never called to trust any political party. We are called to trust God. Believe God. Trust God. It's not them there. Well, listen, there are people that stick with certain parties because that's what, well, this is where my grandparents were and they've always been for us. Well, they're not the ones who have promised that they will be with you forever. God is the one that says he'll go with you, not them. Praise the Lord. So Christians, get out of your political bent, get out of your political whatever, and start trusting God. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. God has got things. Why do we deal with these things? You know, it seems like politics maybe shouldn't be a real important thing on a Sunday morning, but it certainly is. Because what happens is, especially today, is we have news agencies that are by and large controlled by one or the other. One or the other political party. And that's what people are getting their feeding from. They're not getting it from the word. They're getting the feeding from Facebook. They're getting it from the news. They're getting it from all kinds of places out there and not the word of God. And this is forming the minds of Christians or reform, transforming the minds of Christians into something that is unholy. Folks, we have to know. We have to be holy. The Bible tells us, be holy as I am holy. Amen. Without holiness, you will not see the Lord. Glory to God. So get off that garbage that you're watching and get into the stuff that will actually feed your spirit. That stuff that will make you a strong Christian that will be able to withstand when there's trials. Amen. We have to stand up and do these things. And this doesn't mean that we have to start some kind of protest or something like that because God has not called us to do those things. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love what Pastor Michael said. He said, where do you see Jesus protesting? You don't see it. There's no reason to do that. Pray. Amazing what people would pray, change with if they pray. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. So we got to have pure minds. Amen. He's stirring up our pure minds. Praise the Lord. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. Scoffers. This is exactly what we see, people scoffing at the church. Well, why do we need to have church services? I'll tell you why, because God called us together. The government didn't call us together. We don't have church services because the Constitution gives us the right. We have church services because God has ordained it as good. Amen? We have our Constitution because God has ordained it as good. God stirred in the hearts of people who would fight against it and obtain these things. Do you realize that this nation is just over 200 years old? It's not very old, and it's the most prosperous nation in the world. Do you think that it just rose out of obscurity just by happenstance or whatever, just happened to rise up out of obscurity, became the most powerful country that exists? Do you think that was all accident? That was God, amen? Now, I'm not saying that everything everybody did in the midst of that was good, but it was God. Wealth is of God. Wealth is not created by the devil. The lust of wealth is created by the devil, but wealth was created by God. How do we know that? We see that all through Scripture. Start right back there in Genesis, and we see that wealth was created by God. So all you scoffers, people that scoff at people, see, listen, this is the thing. We got Christians who complain against other Christians when they get blessed, or just other people when they get blessed. Why do you care how someone else gets blessed or what somebody else gets? Does that mean God is less or is weaker in your life? When you look at somebody else, you say, well, I sure wish I had what they had. Why don't I get what they had? Well, maybe if you were faithful to your God, he'd make sure that you would have it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, it's the truth, he will. He absolutely will. Listen, God has things for you. That doesn't mean everything someone else has you get. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that God wants to keep us full of the things that he has for us. And those things will be blessings to us. But a lot of times people are always looking at what their neighbor has. Well, I sure wish I had that. Well, praise the Lord. How do you even know that would bless you? You know, one thing I've learned is that I've had those thoughts before. I see somebody get blessed, and I've had the thought, you know, like, man, I wish I had that. And then I get something like that, and then it doesn't bless me. Yeah. I'm like, well, I just wanted it because they had it. I just wanted it because I saw they had it, and I didn't have it, so I thought I needed it. But you want what you want what you praise God, hallelujah. You just seek God. You just have a good relationship with God. You watch how you're blessed. Well, glory to God, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, "Where is the promise of His coming?" Or in other words, you know, things are getting worse and worse and worse. Where's God in all this? That's exactly the same thing they're saying here. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You know, a lot of people that are coming against the church, they're trying to use this. There's no change in the church. What's the church? There's a guy. Where's your God? You guys just have these church services. You're just brainwashed into that. We don't need to do that. You know, we were driving down here this morning, and I said to my wife, I just happened to look out there and see all the boat trailers in the parking lot behind cars at the boat launch down there. And have anything against it. I love people that can have boats. And I love people that can have big boats. I love it when people get blessed with bigger boats than I have. Amen. I love it when people can drive boats that are so big they have to go to bigger bodies of water just to drive them. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. I don't have any problem with any of that. But what I'm saying is I look down there and I say, you know, it's Sunday morning. And all those people out there are blessed. They don't even know it. They're all blessed. And they're all using that blessing to not serve God. They're all using that blessing to be out there. You see people on the golf course, same thing. And so, you know, here's a Sunday. And I'm not saying this is not time for, you know, vacations, time like that, every once in a while, stuff like that. But there's people that are just out doing all kinds of things in their poverty. You know what I mean? Because everybody thinks that they don't have. I can't tell you, I've known countless people who have claimed poverty. I'm like, you have more than you have more stuff than anybody. But part of the reason they're in poverty, just don't stop spending. And so they never have anything. Well, if you never stop spending, of course you're going to get to a place where you have nothing. Amen? Not everybody is Donald Trump or Bill Gates. Not everybody can just spend the way they want to spend. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. For since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. I'm going to throw a little teaser out for you, but I'm not going to preach on this. It's just a little teaser. This is not talking about Noah's flood, just in case you wanted to know. This is not talking about Noah's flood. This is talking about something much different. Amen. Praise the Lord. But that's free, no charge. If you want, you can ask later and we'll talk about it. But glory to God. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of God, ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, this is something interesting, and I want to share this. We always talk about this scripture from the standpoint of people who are unsaved, and I believe that's true. But in context, that's not what the scripture is talking about. In context, what he's talking about here is that any of us that are already saved don't perish. God is not slack. He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that we should perish. There is a perishing that Christians can do. We can neglect the word of God and then perish. But he's long-suffering towards us. He allows things to happen sometimes. He allows things to go on. One of the things that God is allowing, I believe, and this is backed by people who are much more spiritual than myself, but one of the things that I believe is going on in this time period is that the Lord is allowing this time period for Christians to not be allowed in their local church. And the reason for that is because people have not respected the local church. They have thought, well, it's I can take it or leave it. I can come and go. I can be, you know, just haphazard about the local church. When God wants you to be serious about his things. And one of the biggest things that is important to him is the local church. The local church is not the church building. It is the body of believers that congregate together. And so God wants us to be serious about that. God, that is the greatest desire of his. And if you think about it just like this, what mother doesn't want all their kids to come around on Thanksgiving? What mother doesn't want all their kids to come around on Christmas? Well, they want them to gather together, right? God's the same way. He is a good father who wants his children to come together and congregate. Amen? Praise the Lord. Where do you think that desire in mothers and fathers have come from? That desire has come from the Heavenly Father. Amen. So if you desire your kids to be around, you're just imitating your Heavenly Father. So there's nothing wrong with that, parents. If you your children should want to be around you, they should be around you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And I'm not just saying that because I love my mom and I want to be around her, but I'm saying that because it's the truth. If children don't want to come around their parents, something is wrong. I've learned that myself. Amen. My kids, the only time my kids have not wanted to be around me was something was wrong. Something was off. Yep. That's absolutely true. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. You say, well, that's your opinion. No, it's not. It's the opinion of God. Amen. And that matters to us. But God is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. He is not, you know, to God, what we suffer from for a year, it's like not even a blink to God. It's not even a minute to him. Now, he knows that it will be long for us sometimes. But, you know, we're not just in this for this life. We're in this for an eternity. And so what we've started, we're going to continue on. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Turn with me to James 4:7. James 4:7. That's right before Peter. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. James 4:7-8 says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Resist means to set oneself against. You know, when it says to resist the devil, it doesn't just mean don't sin. It means that when there's trial, when the devil's bringing things against you, when he's stirring up trouble, when he's stirring up trial in your life or tribulation, it means that you resist it. That you just don't stand there and be like, oh, take the punch, take the punch. No, what did Mr. Miyagi teach Danielson? Taught him to block, amen? The painting the fence and the sanding the things and waxing the cars and all those things. It was all teaching him how to block. It was all offensive, amen? Or defensive. Defensive, yeah. Offensive, yeah. He's a sports guy. Praise the Lord. It was all defensive. He taught him how to do this. This is what God is saying. This is what resisting the devil, to set oneself against. Set yourself against the devil. When he comes against you, you stand against him. Nope. So when the devil starts robbing from you, nope, you can't rob from me. My God's good. You can't take from me. My God always supplies my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. If you don't stop blaming God, you're never going to resist the devil. And this is the trap that so many in Christianity, even in our circles, even in our church, even though I've preached against this stuff 1,000 times, people still blame God for what the devil's doing. Stop blaming God for what the devil's doing. One of the biggest dangers of blaming God for what the devil is doing is that you will not resist him. And if you don't resist him, he will not flee from you. You have to resist what the devil is doing. You have to start realizing it is not God constantly punishing you or hurting you or coming against you or trying to set something up. There's this thing in religious people, I don't know where it comes from other than it's a religious spirit, but I don't, that there's this thing in religious people that always goes to this, if I've screwed up today, then God's trying to come against me. Now listen, God is not trying to come against you. If you make it a habit of purposely screwing up, judgment will come your way. That is a fact. But judgment is not you screwing up and God going, oh, instantly judged. God's not doing that. Why? That's not just. It's not just, would it be just as a baby, as a toddler? You know, when a baby is going and maybe they grab for something, you know, would it be just if you just went up and smacked them upside the head for it? No, it wouldn't be just. How would you feel if you saw a parent doing that? Baby just starting to walk, just starting to play with things, and they pick up something and you just smacked it out of their hand. Or just pushed them down and screamed at them. Good, do that. Why do you think God's doing that? God isn't doing that. God loves you. He's trying, he is long-suffering. He is not willing that you should perish. So he's giving you space and time to come to that repentance, to come to that place of changing. He wants you to change it. He wants you to get it right now. He wants to get you to get it right on the earth. He wants Americans to get it right. He has not given us the local church to hold us to some kind of bondage. He's given us the whole local church to set us free, but people treat the local church like it's a joke. They treat it like it's the movies, or they treat it like it's some kind of entertainment, and they come when they want, they don't come when they want, and they give when they want, they don't give when they want. They do what they want. They come in and they think, well, this, you know, they don't think any big deal of taking this or taking that or doing this or doing that. All these things we've seen in churches. What is this? People who don't care about the local church. They come into the sanctuary. They despise the sanctuary. They come into the sanctuary of God, and instead of treating it like it's a holy place, they just come in and they're being as loud as they can and laughing as loud as they can and telling jokes and being all kinds. Listen, I'm not saying that church should be miserable. I'm not saying that. But we need to have respect for the things of God. They come to services and they haven't spent any time seeking God. They haven't spent any time believing God. Lord, I believe that you're going to, they don't even spend a second believing, Lord, I'm going to believe that you're the best of God today. No, they come to church miserable. They come to church unhappy. They come to church like it's something they're forced to do with a gun at their head. And they wonder why they're not getting blessed. Listen, if you come to church like you feel like you've got a gun in your head, then don't wonder why you're not getting blessed. The reason God hasn't, the reason you're hindering the, you haven't resisted the devil yet. You accept everything. You let the, you have become the devil's toilet, and you open your trap widely and happily. That's exactly what people are doing. The devil is coming and he's dumping on people all the time, and they're not resisting him at all. They're just saying, oh, this is my lot. This is the way it is. God just mad at me again, or this or that, blah, blah, blah. All these things real good religious people say, but all these things are false. None of these things are the righteousness of God. None of these things are what God has for us. Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, have you ever heard a Christian say, God's got this? Yeah, you know, people say that, and they always say that in time of trial. That's really the only time you ever hear God's got this, right? Well, God's got this. But they always look anguished when they say this. Do you know that very statement should produce joy in the believer? And people wonder why God's not just pouring out in their lives, because you say, well, God's got this. I suppose God's got this. But there's no joy in you. No, how about being excited? Well, God's got this. Hallelujah. Well, I'm free. But people don't do that. They look at everything as a trial, everything against them. It's all me, 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 me. Yes. God's got this should not be said with anguish. Praise the Lord. It's a reason to get stirred and excited. Man, hallelujah. You know, I was talking to my sister Jennifer out there. I just love what she said. She was talking with somebody, and they were talking about, like, back and forth, maybe about what stuff's going on. And somebody in the world, obviously, doesn't have any hope. And I love how she said this. She said, you know, but I serve a God, praise the Lord, who protects me, who watches out for me. Glory to God. That's what Christians should be doing. That's what you need to be doing to yourself. That's what you need to be doing to resist the devil. When the devil comes throwing something, you'd be like, wait a minute. Well, first of all, you always ask yourself, is this something I caused or something that the devil is just attacking me with? And that can always give you a direction where to go. But when it's something the devil's just attacking you with, wait a minute, my God always takes care of me. So you say to him, Satan, devil, my God always takes care of me. So even though you're being loud right now, even though you're running your mouth right now, you're going to hell and I'm still blessed. Even though you've maybe found a way to weasel your way in here for a minute, I'm still blessed. What happens when Christians actually start believing that? Folks, this is the change that needs to be made. This is a change that needs to be made in the church. That people, we were recently talking to a person who was talking about this pandemic. Not, they don't belong to this church or anything like that. But they were talking about this pandemic and everything. And they said, you know, the saddest thing about not getting together is that was not having Easter Sunday. Because, you know, it's something real special about Christmas and Easter Sunday. And I'm sitting there thinking, dear Jesus, this is the way that the world looks at church. They look at it as a Christmas and Easter. That's the most important part. And at least if you make it there, then that's special. That does not bless God when you think that it's special to go on. You know, some people think that. Some people are like, oh, I showed up for church. Praise the Lord. And it was a special day. And God was really blessed by it. He wasn't blessed. He's like, where the heck have you been? Where have you been? You haven't been there at all. You've forsaken my assembling together. You've forsaken my people. Praise the Lord. Ain't nobody that finds joy because the prodigal son comes home for one day and then leaves again. Ain't nobody enjoying that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But we got a bunch of prodigals out there. The church as a whole, I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, you know, our church specifically or anything. I'm just talking about our church as a whole. Now, unless what I'm preaching applies to you, then you judge it for yourself. Amen. Glory to God. Reason gets stirred. Amen. First thing that people do when they start getting problems in their life is they start trying to cut out God. I've never understood that. The first thing people start doing, you know, they start getting problems. Instead of drawing closer to God, you know, what does the Bible say there, James 4:8? It says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. This is talking about times of trial. So why do you continue, you know why you continue the way you were? Because you don't resist the devil. You've never resisted him. What you've done is said, why God, or where is God, where is God? And the whole time God is saying the devil is trying to get you in between you and me, and you're letting him resist him, praise the Lord, and then draw near to me. So what should you be doing when the heat gets turned up? Drawing near to God. Oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. This will help somebody. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I ain't got much time left, but praise the Lord. I want to just bring it up. Just write it down if you're taking notes. Otherwise, just listen to it here. Hebrews 13:5-6. Says God said, the Bible says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, everybody say boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can anyone do to me? The Lord is my helper. What is this talking about? Times of trial. Be content with such things as you have. Amen. It says, praise the Lord. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Praise the Lord. Being covetous is not just wanting what others want. It means it's also spending too much time on what you think you don't have. So if you think that, you know, this trial has robbed something from you that you're going through, and you spend all this time focused on it, you're being covetous. That's one of those, that's what the Bible's talking about, by being covetous. You know, some people think, well, being covetous, when the Bible says don't be covetous, they think that the Bible's just saying, you know, that it's when you covet your neighbor's, you know, because the Bible says don't cover your neighbor's donkey, or don't covet your neighbor's wife. In other words, don't be trying to get them. You know, don't try to steal them from them. Don't, because they don't belong to you. Amen. But we also know the understanding of that has always been taught, and we understand it very clearly, that it's also sitting there looking at it, being jealous of what your neighbor has, amen? But, you know, it doesn't stop there. We have to understand, because he puts it in context here, when he says, be content with such things as you have, that does not mean that you can't ever desire more. It certainly does not. But when your focus, time and time again, is on what you don't have, what you think you don't have, think about this. How much time, whatever trial you've gone through, I just want you to think about this. Whatever trial you've gone through, think about how much time you've spent on it. Think about how much time you've spent worrying about it, thinking about it, trying to get out of it, worrying about it. How am I going to get out of it? All these things. Think about how much of your time you've spent on that. That will be an indicator as to whether or not you're coveting or not. You can covet things that are righteous. God wants you to have nice things. God wants you to be married and to be blessed. God wants you to have children if that's your desire and be blessed. That's all things that he wants for you. But you can covet all those things by making them the focus of your life. When you lose yourself, or when you lose yourself for God, you will find the answers more clearly. Sometimes the trial is extended on people because they don't ever get out of the coveting. They just continually covet. And God is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish. Because here's the ultimate end of coveting, is perishing. That's the ultimate end of it. God doesn't want you to perish, and so he's giving you space and time to repent. Amen? Praise the Lord. So let's stop, you know, when we're saying, where's God in this? Where is God in this? Yeah, things have been tightened down. Things have been made hard. Things are not flowing just as they always have. We can't even have church just the way that we always have. There's a lot of things that are just not moving the way that they always have. And even when it's opened back up, what we're seeing is that people are so afraid because they don't know that they're still not moving, even when they're allowed to. What does this mean? This means that you just need to take time and reflect. and who God is and what he wants to do. God has not left you. He still wants you blessed. He still wants you, but you've got to stand strong. You have to resist the devil. You have to. You cannot just keep going the way that you were and expect. You have to resist him. If you accept the lies the devil feeds you, then you are going to live in the things that those lies produce. Yes. If you live in that mindset of the devil always robs for me, I always lose, or it always ends up bad for me, God can't do anything with that. Amen? Because that's not faith. Amen? We're going to close with this. Praise Lord, James 1:16 through 18. It says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." What that means is he is not going to give and be a blessing in one area and then turn around and be a curse in another. There's no variation. There's no shadow of turning. He's not doing this over here and then turning over here and doing something else. That's what it's talking about. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. "Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Praise the Lord. God wants us to be an example to all of creation. Whether or not we do is completely up to us. It's not on God's end. Stop asking, where is God? Unless you do what I was saying to do last night and ask yourself, where is God in my life? Like, how have I incorporated God into my life? How have I made God an important part of what I'm doing? How have I brought God forth in my decisions? Amen. Things like that. So if you're going to ask God, where is God? Ask it from the right standpoint. Not like, where is God? What is,